Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, March 5th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
I admire you. I really do admire you.
Oh, good. You can tell me all about it later. The Erotic Mind series returns today, and we are about to meet an extraordinary photographer with a pedigree. That's right. My guest is a second-generation erotic photographer. But in order to get the full flavor of this talented man, we must first travel to the wilds of Brighton, UK, where we will encounter Stan Keatley in his natural habitat.
You're in sexual health, aren't you? That's ironic.
I don't know what you mean. Listen, Stan has his roots in the performing arts, with the creative influence of the Brighton burlesque scene as his playground and classroom. And just as you would imagine, his photographs are as often as whimsical as they are sensual. And as a bonus, Stan has generously compiled a sumptuous slideshow of some of his outstanding work. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. You won't want to miss this, sex fans.
Do you know what you sounded like? You sounded like a fucking Nazi Julie Andrews.
Why are you being so mean? For more of Stan, be sure to visit his blog, keatleyart.blogspot.com, and from there, you'll be able to link to shop.keatleyart.com, which features both his and his father's brilliant work. You'll also find Stan on Facebook, and you can follow him on Twitter, too. These links will also be included in today's podcast posting. Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom's banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, sir, sex fans. You can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why.
Does that not fit within your purview, Marie Antoinette? Well, listen, why don't you just scuttle off back to fucking Cranford and play around with your tea and your cakes and your fucking horsecocks?
I'm going to ignore you. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. And remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these shows. How great is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome to Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, Stan, and thank you for joining us. I'm so stoked that we could make this time to be together. I'm ready to plumb the depths of your amazing erotic mind if you are. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Yes, I think I really should say hello to everybody, don't you?
Yes, absolutely, especially the kinky folk out there.
Well, yeah, they're listening too, I hope.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. They're my most loyal audience. And I'll include myself in that latter category too, I might add.
Excellent.
So listen, I don't mind telling you that I've had the damnedest time trying to figure out where to begin this conversation. I have so many questions swirling around in my head, and finally, I just decided I'd begin at the beginning and hope that we have time to discuss it all. I was intrigued by something that you wrote on your site. You say, "My photos attempt to show the natural beauty of womanhood, something that holds a deep sense of sincere wonder for me." Now, that's about as succinct an artist statement as I have ever read, but I don't want to let you off the hook with just that. Can you expand on that for us a bit? I mean, why women as opposed to men, for example, and why the human figure as opposed to anything else in the natural world?
Okay, well, I suppose women are what I find it easiest to discover wonderment in. I do see beauty elsewhere in majestic sunsets, landscapes, and I can even see the positive sexual qualities in some chaps, but I never connect on that base, you know, fundamental level as I do with, you know, images of women.
I see.
I think I have an eye for the art of women over anything else, though I do have a couple of ideas for shooting men. I'm not sure when I'll have the time to shoot the ideas, as I've so many other ideas I've yet to execute. They just pile up, you know.
I understand completely. So the curious thing about your work is that regardless of the amount of nudity and seduction involved in your images, there is never a whiff of purience, at least from my point of view. There's an underlining sensuality for sure, but never, I'm never creeped out when I'm looking at your work. I can't say that is true for others who shoot nudes, particularly men who shoot female nudes. Is this your intention?
Well, I suppose it is, because it's the way that I put together my pictures is by working very closely with a model. You know, I'll have an idea, and I'll have an idea of a particular model who I imagine it would fit. Then I approach them with the idea, and you know, we sit down with a cup of tea or whatever and have a chat about it, sometimes for months before the actual shoot. And it's just all about planning. It's all about working out what is going to be fun, what's going to, the underlying idea of the shoot, because I work on a basis that the shoot's going to have a theme. So I don't plan out an individual image. I plan out a theme for an image, you know, superheroes or whatever. And then we generally just bounce ideas off each other. And so by the time the shoot comes round, we both really know we're on the same wavelength, you know, and it's all very relaxed and natural and good fun. So you don't get any of that. There's no underlying question about why you're doing what. Everybody knows exactly what they're doing and is confident with it. So I like to think that comes through in the photos, you know.
Well, I think it does. So you're basically saying that your models are not only your muses, but also collaborators.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's no way I'll be able to do this without I'm not one of these photographers who can just tell someone, you know, lift your leg up over here, move your arm around there. It's just that's not the way that I work. You know, I can't see the picture that way. I have an image in my head, a few ideas, you know, of images in my head, and then I put a framework of, you know, I line the whole thing up so that image can naturally form in front of the camera. So,
no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I just can't work any other way. So yeah, the models are very important, and I've been really lucky to have been introduced to and worked with some fantastic creative people who, you know, half the work is done there for me. Or I feel sometimes like I'm just incidentally there taking, you know, pressing the button on the camera sometimes. I'm just spoilt rotten for these models. They're outstanding.
Wow. Does your audience appreciate your efforts? I mean, it seems to me like this goes way beyond, you know, just lining up a model and, you know, photographing her. It's, you know, so much more work, and I'm guessing that it's because it's labor intensive and time intensive, it costs more to you and your model. So does your audience appreciate your efforts?
Well, yes, I think so. The people that like it for what it is, you know, and I'm not really shooting these things for any particular reason other than to express something creative.
Interesting.
And as I work with the model, we, you know, it does take a long time to build up to do a shoot. There's shoots that I've had in mind for the last couple years. I've been talking to different models about, and we will do them, and it will come together, and it should work absolutely fine. But it's not necessarily, you're not on it 24/7, if you know what I mean. It's like you keep your eye out for different props and whatever else. If you're going to do, say, for example, a shoot that required, say, a sword or something, or a sword of a certain type, then you'd say, right, I'll keep my eye out for one of those, and then and then when you find it, you get in contact with the model again, or if she finds it, she contacts you, and you put the two together, and then you wait for the weather to be right. If it's a shoot outside, there's a lot of waiting for the tide to be in the right place at the same time as the moon is in the right place.
Wow, no kidding.
And that's it. You just say one day, you just say, right, it's going to be perfect on this day, and you go out and you do the shoot. It's it's not too time consuming from that point of view.
You said something very interesting just a moment ago, and you said that, you know, you shoot as an artistic endeavor. A lot of the other people that I've interviewed in this series, photographers in particular, shoot with the intention of titillation. They want to titillate. They want to arouse. That doesn't figure into your intent?
I believe so. It must do, because of some of the shoots that I do. you just look at the pictures, you know.
Yes, it's so true.
It's just that's not necessarily the main driving force.
Right.
You know, it's part of it. There's no question there. But you do it for the fun. You do it for the adventure and doing something that's different. And in some ways, I like the integrity of it. I like the way that it's like, you know, when you were a kid and you're sitting in that cardboard box with a saucepan lid pretending that it's a car, you're making believe and you're running around your imagination.
Uh-huh.
And it's that side of it is quite liberating.
Uh-huh.
And to have that, to be in touch with that creative side is just, you know, great fun. And also, yeah, it's really quite uplifting from my point of view.
Right.
And to have ideas with these models, a lot of these girls that I meet on the burlesque circuit.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, sure, sure. Good. The models are they're always interested in expressing their fun side, their creativity, and they like wearing the these fancy outfits. And as you put these elements together, what you get is an essence of the spirit of the photo shoot, of the fun that people were having, and also I think you get an essence of what those people enjoy expressing, and in some ways, as I say, these are burlesque performers. They enjoy expressing the sexy side of themselves, and some people find that titillating, and it is. It's very it's very alluring topic to make photographs of.
So let's turn our attention briefly to something very, very interesting, and that's you. Your blog states, Stan Keatley was born in Kowloon, Hong Kong in 1976, the son of artist and photographer George Keatley. Stan grew up in a free and liberal artistic environment. His father's work, almost exclusively female nudes, sowed the early seeds of his creative perception. Stan states, to say I had an interesting childhood is putting it mildly. I love it. Interesting childhood indeed. So let's talk about that some, shall we? Did you know that you were living this exotic life when you were a kid, or did you think that every kid's father was doing what your dad did?
Well, I didn't really think about what other people's families were doing, as mine was so much fun.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know any different.
Uh-huh.
I was of an age where I thought all this stuff was quite normal. I'd grown up with it, you know, all these images over the wall. And it's just like saying, were you interested in, or did you take much notice of the wallpaper? This stuff was there. It was part of the furniture. It was in the background.
Right.
And you know, to be honest, I appreciated it as much as a child would appreciate the furniture, you know. Sometimes it would be quite funny, though. I mean, I was growing up as I was going through this, so I was twigging on certain things. And sometimes I would be coming, I'd come in the door home from school, and my dad would shout at me as I rushed through the studio to go and get myself a snack, which was in the kitchen. Uh-huh. And there'd be some naked woman lying on a sheepskin rug in the studio. So, but to me, it was just,
I love it.
It was another incident that happened throughout my childhood, you know. Wasn't until I was a teenager that I realized that other people weren't really of the... They didn't have that same kind of mindset.
No kidding, yeah.
No, some people didn't, you know, some people mentioned it, other people just kept quiet, you know. I, looking back on it, I can remember people's faces and their expressions on their faces, and I didn't understand at the right. time, but they were obviously shocked and really didn't know what to say. And I get that, I understand. But it seems in some ways I had a bit more of a sheltered life. I seem to be least affected by all this stuff in some ways, talking to other people who aren't so art exposed, I guess.
So but, your early immersion in sex positive in the sex positive family must have set the stage for your own healthy appreciation of sex and sexuality. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I'd say it was more of a body positive environment.
Oh,
really.
Interesting. Good. All right.
I back to being, you know, I was a kid, and I was quite naive, and actually I was quite sheltered in that way when it came to sex. Images of naked women and the idea of sex, the sex was involved in the images of the naked women. They didn't go together. It wasn't until later.
No kidding. Interesting.
Well, yeah. It was art. That was what I was told it was,
right.
And it was created there to be appreciated,
yes.
And that's it. It wasn't until later, and I saw some, you know, you go around your mate's house and whatever, and raid his father's jazz magazines or whatever, and you go, wow, look at that, and it's all, the penny dropped for me then.
Right.
It's funny how these things turn out.
So, as I understand it, you didn't immediately follow in your father's footsteps. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I think I saw something on your Facebook page that suggests that you were a copper at one time. Is that correct? I'll bet you there's a story there.
No. This is... I don't really... Well, I did used to work for the police.
I see.
And that's true, but I was never a policeman.
I see.
And it was good fun. It was a really nice people.
Uh-huh.
But no. I've been a Greek statue, sand dancer. I've been a glam rock star, but I've never been a policeman.
No. I love it. So you go on to say about yourself, in 2008, the self-taught photographer headed for Brighton, UK, to enlarge on his ideas and to seek inspiration and pursue his imagination. Stan has his roots in the performing arts, with the creative influence of the Brighton burlesque scene as his playground and classroom. Let's hear it for innovative classrooms.
Yeah, damn right.
So if you are self-taught, is it safe to conclude that your father didn't pass on his photographic secrets to you?
Well, not necessarily. Well, no real technical secrets. I would say he passed on some fantastic secrets to me.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I think I've got my father's eyes, you know. I can see these images forming in my head long before I take the pictures,
right.
and
that's really the secret of it, is it not? I mean, you can imagine it, and this I've heard from other artists in this series, is that they imagine it in their head before it is formed, either in whatever medium they're using.
Right. Oh, that's really. I'm relatively new to all this. It's really quite inspiring and enlightening to hear these things.
Yeah.
I feel privileged in some ways, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to do this. It's not something that I say I can do necessarily well, but I'm using this tool to work on it and get better, you know. I remember a few little bits and bobs that my dad passed on as far as the psychology behind right. pictures and whatnot. I remember him going on once about an art class he went to, because he was a photographer and then later on he was a painter.
Uh-huh.
And he went to study with this teacher who set them a task of painting a garden. And the next week the teacher came back and said, here's my painting, let's have a look at yours. And the teacher's painting, he changed the whole path so that it was more windy and you could see right almost to the end but not quite, mm-hmm. and the gate was slightly open beckoning the person to walk down the gate, and the house was all different at the end. And I remember my dad complaining because the psychology behind the whole painting wasn't explained beforehand, but he all seemed right. to have tweaked it. So
yeah.
I've never forgotten that.
Yeah.
There's always that extra bit
yeah.
in the image, you know.
Yeah.
So
interesting. That is so fascinating to me. I mean, it really is, because I mean it is more than the sum of its parts. Any piece of art, and if you set someone to a task of, you know, I want you to create some art, and this is, you know, the agenda, and then you come up with something completely different, then that's just not fair.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is it. That's what my dad was saying. It's kind of, he wasn't giving off all the information he could have done, really. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was running on instinct out
right,
of a book
right.
And didn't know.
Wow.
But, there's loads of stuff I could have asked my dad. My dad, of course, is he's no longer with us. He passed away some years ago now, but he used to, I've inherited his camera off him, his Rolleicord medium format camera.
Wow.
And it's there's nothing digital about it at all.
Uh-huh.
You have to manually work out what settings you need to set it to.
Wow.
And get it to, you know, in order to get a good exposure, let alone get a decent composed picture.
Right.
And I just think, you know, I appreciate more and more every time I see my father's pictures how much he must have, because he took a series of photos. You get 12 shots in one roll.
Mm-hmm.
Then he put them on a contact sheet, and he kept a notebook. Every picture he took, he wrote down the settings on his camera.
Get out.
And then put them next to each photograph on the contact sheet. I mean, that's what photographers used to do
right.
in order to learn how to make a good exposure.
Yeah. Now it's completely different with digital, because, you know, you can adjust everything post-production.
Oh, absolutely. Or even that, you can take a picture, look at it on the back of the camera, you know straight away if it's a good exposure or not.
Yeah.
And it means that you can just
yeah.
learn so much faster and
yeah.
cheaper as well, because you
right.
have to develop your own film and
right.
all the rest of it. Yeah,
right.
it's amazing. I mean, all these old photographers that use old wet film had to do that. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'll say. So you're currently shooting throughout the UK, yes?
Well, no, mostly I'm still in Brighton and around London.
I got it.
And I haven't ventured much further than that. Really, I haven't had the freedom to, you know.
Right. So finally, you say about yourself, Stan Keatley is proving to be a key artist of stark contrast lighting, using nude and semi-nude erotic storytelling. With a variety of subjects, there is a constant narrative that transcends the modern image that women feel pressured to conform to, thus restricting women's freedom. I want to hear more about that. So there is storytelling involved in your work, and I'm guessing that the story isn't always what it initially seems.
Well, yeah, that's true. That there's the images I make in some cases are very very symbolic, and they have you know an immediate look about them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you use your imagination a little bit and try, I try to produce images that draw people in, you know, and make them
right.
engage a little bit.
Right.
And when I'm successful doing that, which, you know, I'm getting better, you know, I say I'm getting better because the ones I've produced so far, I can do better, you know. I like them, but, they all have different underlying meanings if you look for them. I don't want to give too much away.
Okay, good.
But, you know, there's certain shoots like the images of girls tied with ribbons to trees in the dark forest, and there's a ribbon is crossing their eyes, blinding them, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of one of those images that I want people to ask why they're in that situation and what is exactly happening and make something up
right.
for themselves, you know, but also you
so
could
it's
say
open to interpretation. You're not telling them dogmatically that this is what this represents. You're letting your audience figure that out for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are some of my shots that have definite meaning to them, and I know what they mean, but everything is open to interpretation. You know, we all look at the same thing, but we see something different. You know, it's what happens in your mind when you translate those images into your own imagination.
Wow.
And that's where you actually see what the image is.
Hmm. Interesting. I understand that you're married and that your beautiful wife, Sam Keatley, pretty much is responsible for your website. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yes. She's,
Sam and Stan. I mean, you can't even say that 10 times fast.
Yeah. Some people just shorten it to Stam. Just have done with it.
Good way to do it.
I couldn't have, all that technical stuff with the website, I couldn't have done that without her at all. She's got some programming skills, and she's very handy with this all this internet stuff. It's fantastic. I owe a lot for that.
Yeah.
Well,
she's also a photographer and an artist. Is she not?
Well, she's not a photographer, but she's got a creative outlet. Definitely, she writes. She's musical. She does the occasional painting, which you'll see up on my blog.
Yes.
But at the moment, she doesn't really find enough time to be able to do it all, really. She's quite busy looking after the Keatley Art website.
Taskmaster that you are.
Yeah. there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. Someone has to do it, you
That's
know.
Right. Did I mention that I really love the videos that you post? They are so charming and delightful. I absolutely love them.
Well, I was a bit worried about that, you know, my attempts to blog my photographic experience kind of made me look a bit of a tit, tripping up and falling down more than I should have done. I don't think I've contributed too much to the artistic knowledge of
But that's
my
not true. I actually learned a lot from, you know, there was one in particular that stuck in my head that you were kind of like walking along in a very windy place, maybe, you know, near the beach or near the water or something like that, and you were explaining like, well, this is what you have to do in order to get, and I thought, that's fascinating. I don't see that kind of stuff elsewhere, so that's why I found it so engaging.
Oh really? Oh wow. Okay. Well, watch out for more to come then.
Alrighty then.
Get on with that. There's lots to cover, you know. And as I learn new stuff, I'm going to be sharing my experiences with everyone. So
that's another thing, that you're so generous, you know. A lot of artists, you know, really hold their technique and their information and their insights very close to their vest, and you are happily sharing it, you know, with anyone who happens by.
Well, I don't think this is the kind of thing that you can keep to yourself, really. It's all you can't be too precious with these things.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a skill, it's good to be able to share that and teach that with others,
right.
And it also helps hammer the ideas home in your own mind. You know, I've learned that through other training that I've done in the past. When you teach other people, you learn it really very well, and it helps you experience that knowledge all the better. And I'm not I don't mind people who keep their, you know, hold their cards close to their chest. Everyone has their reasons for these things, and it's what makes us all different. You know, some people really don't like to, they just go out, do a shoot, come back, and that's it. They don't share anything. But yeah, I think it's really quite important. And also, I don't really think that I have a technique or any styles that I really want to just settle on. I'm happy to evolve my style and to keep on learning and keep on these creative things. You can't let them stagnate. You know, I don't agree with sticking to a formula. Although a formula can be good and can work very well for some people, I don't find that rewarding in any way. You know, I don't find it fulfilling.
So I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today. And I want to thank you for your generosity. It's been another indication of how present you are to your audience and the people who are interested in your work. So thank you for being here. But I still have tons and tons more questions. Any chance you could come back for next week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yay!
Yay!
I love it. But before we leave for today, can I ask you to give us your website address and walk us around a bit? Where can we find your work? Can we buy your work there? And I know you have a Twitter and Facebook account, so I'll be able to post those things with today's podcast. But maybe you could walk us around your site a bit so we can visit you during the week.
Sure, okay. There's a main one that I have that I'm rearranging my own work at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But all of my a lot of my father's work is up there right now, and you can find his photographs if you type in keatleyart.com. That's keatleyart.com, and you'll find his fantastic pictures of June Palmer up there and a few of the other models that he shot back in the 60s. My photos are going to be going back on there pretty soon, so watch out for them. And also there's just my blog, which is keatleyart.blogspot.com.
Excellent. So we will have those postings or those links ready to go on today's podcast posting. So until next week, my friend, be well, and we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Thanks, kiddo. Bye.
Bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Stan Keatley and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy reviews site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas.
Where do you think you are? In some fucking Regency costume drama?
Okay. So look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, and remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these shows. So how great is that? Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product and service. The beautiful part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so by helping disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For more information, contact me through my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Well, that's even better. Over and out. Yeah.